Well, tonight has the makings of a classic coast-to-coast show as we talk about out-of-body travel, ghosts and spirits, angels, demons, reincarnation, heaven and hell. Up next, Marilyn Hughes joins us on Coast to Coast AM. Marilyn Hughes has a long-standing career in broadcasting as a news anchor person, reporter, producer. She has experienced, researched, written, taught out-of-body travel and mysticism since 1987 and has written more than 50 out-of-body travel books. Here she is on Coast to Coast, Marilyn Hughes. Marilyn, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You've got my kind of background in the broadcasting.
I kind of do.
Yeah, but I assume always an interest in the unusual, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I was a reporter, it seemed like God was leading me to become a reporter on the other realms instead of the things that were going on around. And so I kind of followed that call.
Well, good for you. Well, what as you started to evolve your career, did you find, as I did, that a lot of mainstream television executives didn't want these unusual stories?
That's very true. There were a few that actually had an interest in doing stuff with it, but they were usually kind of few and far between, and they didn't have enough support from the rest of the crew. So, it is a difficult subject to bring up on live radio.
Yeah, it really is. Now, tell me, how did you get your interest in OBEs?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they kind of came up and creeped upon me. It started early on when I was a young kid. I was about 9 years old when I had my first experience. And my first experience was one of those really profound ones. You know, the heavens opened, the clouds parted, the marble steps up to the throne of God kind of thing, the angels singing. And that one, I was told that there would come a time in my life where something was going to happen and I would have something that I needed to do, and it was what I needed to do. It was my calling. And then it began again when I was about, I believe, 22. I'm 43 now, so I was about 22. And it kind of came out of nowhere. The first time it happened to me, I was actually afraid because I thought I was dying. But after the experience occurred, I did a lot of praying and asking for assistance because I realized it was some kind of unusual experience and I wanted to do it again, but I needed some assistance so that I wouldn't be so fearful of it the second time. And the second time, it's
jarring. It's jarring when you don't understand what's
exactly
going on.
Exactly. Yes. It's very powerful, too. I think one of the things, and ironically, a lot of the emails I've gotten from your listeners have talked about experiencing something like this. You know, when you enter into the state that you're going to go into before you leave your body, there's a vibrational state where you disconnect from your physical body and reconnect with your spiritual body, which vibrates at a much higher capacity, and it's profoundly powerful, as you probably know. And then you have the noise. It sounds like some people describe it as jet engines, some people describe it as like it's just such a powerful sound, and
it's
so much more than people would expect. So when it actually happens, and in fact, one of the things that a lot of people have written me over the years about, and this happened to me in the beginning too, was when it happens, you are like almost jolted out of the experience sometimes because of that immediate shock of, oh wow.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have to kind of learn to control that reaction to the powerful nature of it in order to move through.
Are you able to do this now, Marilyn, at will?
I wouldn't call it at will. It happens very frequently now, but I feel that this has been very directed in my life. There are things that I do that make it more likely to occur, which involves more of my lifestyle, prayer, contemplation, meditation, a lot of time in meditation. And in the beginning, when it first started happening, I did a lot more time in meditation. when it first started happening, it took a lot more time and effort to get the experiences to expand. Now that it's kind of at a certain level, it's less difficult to maintain, But you have to have a little bit of silence in your life. You have to have a lot of, not a lot of traffic going through your brain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the first time it happened for me, I was 11 years old, and it was the only time it's happened. But I'll tell you what has occurred over the years, and
okay.
That is intuitiveness has gotten better and better and better, and very powerful dream state events as well.
A lot of people will experience the lucid dreaming, and sometimes in place of the out-of-body experience. And that can be just as important. It's just it's like an out-of-body experience that's experienced on a less conscious level. Because if you go fully conscious, sometimes it's that powerful nature of it. And so, you know, God allows us to have the experience whatever way works for us. You know what I mean?
Just last week, we were talking about OBEs that people were having with their near-death experiences, and they were able to see what was going on, let's say, in the surgical room or the emergency room. And, you know, they'd see doctors say things or make jokes, and, you know, they confronted them afterwards. And, you know, and the doctor was in shock that somebody knew what was going on. What do you think this stage is, first of all? What is it?
When someone is in a near-death experience and seeing that stuff?
Or the OBE. What is that layer, that level?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think what it is you're going between third and fourth dimensional if you're just talking about when you go outside of the body. And it can get kind of complicated, so I'll try to make it simpler. But you're going, when you're just leaving your body, you're going like from the third dimensional to the fourth dimensional. And when you do that, you do see what's happening in the physical world around you. But you can also see, like, for instance, if there are dead people in the room, angels, guardian angels, if you have any people around you, like relatives, sometimes ghosts, lost souls, things like that. But there's different levels. This is only like just the level that occurs when you just leave your body, because you have so many other levels that you can rise to. When you go like fifth dimensional and above, which goes like to ad infinitum, those are all the different realms of light, and there are so many profound different realms that are so different from what we have here. So you're entering into totally different worlds that operate by totally different laws than this mortal realm. And then if you enter into, like, the lower dimensions, where evil, darkness, different levels of darkness and evil reside, again, totally different laws in those realms and totally different experiences. So you can have a lot of people look at the out-of-body experience just from the standpoint of getting out of your body, wandering around like the earthly area, but they don't realize that there is so much more. There's so much more beyond that. There's all these profound realms of existence. You can travel forward and backward in time. There's actually different corridors that you travel to go to different types of experiences. There's a tunnel that takes you back through time if you're going to go into past life, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
There's these types of corridors that have like almost a cloudy nature that take you between some of the lighter realms up above. And then there's these ribbed corridors when you're going through like initiations into mysteries. There's a whole series of, I think that one of the things that's difficult to summarize without complicating it too much is just that there's so much. I remember when I had my first experiences and started writing them down, and I had probably, you know, what's in the first couple of chapters of the Mysteries of the Redemption written down. I was like, wow, I've seen so much. That is so amazing. But I didn't realize that it's just the tip of the iceberg. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, how often did you go through that lower echelon?
Lower realms?
Yeah, the realm we really don't want to stay in.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, that's an interesting subject, too, because one of the things that happened in my experience was that I was taken to the realms of light first, because I wouldn't have been able to handle the lower realms had I not gone to the realms of light first.
You see, you were one of the lucky ones.
Yes, I was very lucky. And, you know, and it's interesting because one of the things that you go through, have you heard of vibrational raisings?
Tell me what your take is on that, because I've heard of the vibrational
abilities. You've heard of the vibrational state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so when you enter into the vibrational state, which is what happens shortly before you're going to leave your body, and you hear all those profound sounds, at the same time, you often will connect like to the what I would call like the mind of God. You have like this sense of understanding things that you don't understand once you come back. And it's disappointing because you're like, wow, I understood all that. And then you don't retain it all when you come back. The vibrational raisings occur for the purpose of traveling to higher and lower realms. Because, again, if you go back to what the vibrational state is, you're disconnecting from your physical body, which physical matter vibrates at a slower capacity than the spirit. When you start having experiences, in order to continue to progress, your spiritual guardians, your guardian angels, the teachers that are around you in the spiritual world will take you through what I call vibrational raisings, where it's almost like revving a car engine. You know how you'll push on that accelerator and park, and it just goes,
Yep.
It'll do that. And it's very powerful because sometimes it really feels so intense that you feel like you're going to explode. But part of what's happening is they're preparing you to travel to higher and higher realms. But it also then assists you when you get ready to go into the lower realms, because there's a certain protection that comes from that veil of energy, so to speak. When I was taken back to go to the hellish realms, the purgatorial realms, it was a very difficult transition for me because, first of all, it was something that I hadn't seen after, you know, having a lot of experiences. And so it was shocking to me because I think I had come to the conclusion that they weren't there. And so when I started going, it was explained to me that I was part of my purpose was to go into those hellish realms. Now there's a whole lot of different realms, and they all mirror different types of vices. Like for instance, there's a place called Muddy Flats where people who have profound greed and vanity can go. There's a different hell realms where there are like weather disturbances where, you know, if it's not wind, it's snow. If it's not snow, it's hail, but it's a constant barrage of things. The interesting thing about the hell realms and I'm speaking only from what I've experienced.
And why would you experience that? You sound like a good person. Why would you even pass through these areas?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was taken into the lower realms in part to write about them, to record them, report on them, so to speak, to explain. You know, it was interesting because I would go to various realms and I would talk to some of the residents of those realms and I would say, okay, why are you here? Okay, what exactly did you do that made you end up here? And they would explain to me and I'd say, okay, what do you have to do to get out? You know, and so there's a lot of experiences in the books where I'm talking to them and asking them, okay, so what exactly it's like a mechanics of existence question, you know what I mean? How did you get here? You know,
yeah.
I want to make sure I avoid that. And then part of it, too, was earlier on in my journey, I was called to help with what are called lost souls, which are basically people who have died, who have become ghosts, who are kind of stuck here. Because sometimes it's because they had no spiritual beliefs at all. Sometimes they were confused. Sometimes they were very dark or did a lot of evil deeds. But there are ghosts who are both good and evil and everything in between. And somehow when they cross over, they don't have the ability to see spiritual things. Their vibration is not high enough. So they need a physical counterpart to help them make that crossing and get them to their guardian angels who take them the rest of the way to the light. So I was then being called later to actually go into the lower realms to assist with people. You might recall, like in the Old Testament, there's a scripture, I think it's in the Psalms, where it says, in the highest of heavens, you are there, and in the lowest of hells, you are still there.
Well, didn't you feel, though, Marilyn, that you could be trapped in this realm at all?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. It was very scary, especially the first few times. The purpose of going into them was, first of all, to record them, but second of all, and probably more importantly, is that whenever a soul is ready to take another step, as it says in that Old Testament thing, God is there. He sends help. So I was being trained to go down into those lower realms when there was a soul in a purgatorial or a hellish realm to show them the exit to that particular hell realm or purgatorial, because there's both, and to give them the clues that they needed to go. Sometimes they would come with me. Sometimes they wouldn't believe me at first, but I knew that they were going to get out later because I showed them the way. A lot of times they were very hesitant and cautious because they didn't believe there was a way out.
What if they weren't supposed to leave?
Well, I wouldn't have been sent to help them if they weren't ready to leave. Oh. What happens is it's all about compatibility. When you go down, when it comes to where we go after death, it's all about compatibility. So whatever we are at spiritually at the time of our own death, we will resonate to a realm that reflects it. And so what happens in these lower realms is when a person takes a step and they're ready to go higher, even just a tiny bit higher, it's recognized by God and he sends help. And he gives them a chance to go back and get out of that realm, go to a slightly higher level. It's all about this constant process of purification that we're all trying to do, which is to, you know, purify ourselves of our defects, move closer towards the holiness of God. So it was more of, it was going in to help these souls get out. And, you know, you said, wasn't I afraid that if I went in, I couldn't
stuck.
Get out?
That's right.
There were some things that some people might actually find quite shocking. There are some of these realms that I actually had to undergo in the spirit an exorcism when I left them, because it was not possible to go in on a rescue mission and come out of that realm without taking on some dark spirits and dark energies that had to be exorcised from you before you return to your body.
They attach themselves to you, don't they?
They did, yeah. And it was like jumping into, I don't know, some people might be familiar like with a bog or a muck pond. They're more common in the Midwest, but it's a pond that doesn't have any running water to it, doesn't have a stream or anything, so it's just like a stagnant pond where all kinds of nasty things grow. And if you jump into a bog, there's no way you can get out of that bog without smelling awful. It's kind of like that.
They have found many skeletons in bogs.
Have they?
Yes.
Well, that's not...
Animals and humans.
Yeah,
people and animals that have gone into bogs and they have never come back out again. It's
makes
almost
sense.
Like quicksand.
Yes, it is. And it's also there's a stench to it, you know? And it was interesting, too, because in my original, when I first started getting trained to go into these hell realms, I had to actually start, like, learning to what's called veiling your energy, because you don't want to be identified, because
what,
you will be
that?
Attacked. If
what
they,
is that, veiling your energy?
You have, it's like, it's a way where you subdue the light so that you can look like you are one of the inhabitants of this realm so that you will not be attacked, because you will be attacked if they recognize, if the people that you're not there to rescue recognize that you're there, because obviously they're dark, there's evil in those realms, so they're going to come and get you.
Well, let's find out how you got out of there when we come back. Pick up the After Dark magazine. You get free 2 classic CDs, interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin that Art did a long time ago. when you subscribe or renew. We'll send that to you, too. Two CDs, two programs. Call 1-888-727-5505 for the After Dark magazine or go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, we're with Marilyn Hughes. Marilyn, we're going to talk about that dimension you were in. Did you utilize your news background a lot when you started to investigate all these?
I did a little bit, and I think it kind of evolved into a little bit of a different technique because it was kind of directing itself. So there was a lot of, frankly, I think one of the things that's interesting is a lot of people will ask me, I get these emails a lot about wanting to control their out-of-body experiences, and I'm always telling them, you don't necessarily want to, because when you allow what I call the eternal, which is, you know, God and all his angels and messengers and all those who are helping us, they know where everything is, so they lead you to this. If you try to direct it yourself too much, you can actually not have anywhere to go because you don't know where to go.
So true. Okay, so you're down in this realm, the realm you didn't want to get stuck to. Tell me what happened to you.
Well, I'm kind of compiling a bunch of different experiences like that. There's different ways that I would get out of situations like that. I have a lot of experiences written in the Mysteries of the Redemption about my battles with the dark side, and there's... In order to explain that, in the second section of the Mysteries of the Redemption, I start going into this period where I was being taught how to battle for the light in situations like this. So there's a certain light that is given to you that you are able to actually emanate from your spiritual hands. There are certain commands that you can give to a dark or demonic spirit when they are violating any kind of eternal law. There's eternal laws that you just don't violate, and if you do, you're just in trouble. And so the demonic spirits are very familiar with those laws, and they actually cower and get pretty scared when that's brought up to them. And what actually happens is they get sent back into the lower abyss if they don't cooperate. You know, you can offer them the opportunity to be altered into a different evolutionary form, or they kind of have to go back to the lower abyss. And it's kind of hard to explain and summarize, but I'm trying. The other thing you do, you call out to Jesus for help. I've had a few battles where I actually had one of the really neatest experiences I had. I was in battle with a demonic entity, and Jesus came, the Blessed Virgin Mary came, but the really neat thing was that the Buddha showed up, Avalokiteshvara, who's the Holy Mother of Buddhism, showed up.
They all came rolling in,
and
huh?
Even Zarathustra from Zoroastrianism, and he was so awesome. You know, he's a real warrior. So it was really awesome to see.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that realm in just a second. But
okay.
Let's also talk about the positive end of all of this, too, and that is these evolution. How high up did you go on this pecking order?
Well, it's pretty hard to put into words, but I can tell you, like, the 23rd dimension is the realm of the golden angels, and that's probably, like, one of my favorite places.
That would be called heaven?
Well, there's a lot of heavens. You know, if you understand, there's fifth dimension and up, and it's a multitude, I mean, totally infinite number. So what you have is you have different levels of light and love, and it just goes higher and higher and higher and higher. And so,
why the different levels, though? I mean, at what point is one better than the other?
It's levels of evolution, levels of vibration. You know, all that vibrational raising stuff, part of that was to bring you so that you could go higher and higher into these higher realms. I started out with a teacher who called himself Emmanuel. It wasn't Jesus, but his name was Emmanuel, and he lived in this realm that had these beautiful pastel colors of all, you know, pinks, blues, purples, yellows, and it was just one of the things that's difficult to describe, probably sparklers. Sparklers on July 4th. When you go to these higher realms, that kind of sparkly light is everywhere. And the higher you go, the more of it there is. The higher you go, the more vibrant the colors are, the more intense you feel the love of God, the more intensely do you understand, like, a greater purpose in all that's happening here. The mortal realms, which is where we are, the earth and other realms like it, which are third and fourth dimensional.
Right.
The main purpose of these realms is the battle between good and evil. And the battle between good and evil doesn't just occur around us, but inside us. And so part of the purpose here, and in fact, a huge part of the purpose here, is for us to purify ourselves of the darkness within ourselves. And so moving to those higher realms of light requires us to do quite a bit of self-examination here. Does that make sense?
Not quite yet.
Okay. Well, like, let's just take it to vice and virtue. You have virtues and you have vices. The seven deadly sins, let's start with those. Those would be gluttony, lust, greed, pride, sloth, vanity, and avarice.
Okay.
You can probably figure out what your primary issue is just by looking. It's going to be either one of those major ones or some kind of subcategory of one of those vices.
I have none of those, Marilyn.
Me neither.
Not, right?
But I'm just kidding.
Somebody probably does.
I'm sure we all can find something, but then there's also the virtues, you know, which are the opposite of those vices, you know. So you want to develop the patience, chastity, moderation, all these things that go with it. These are the things that we have to balance out within ourselves spiritually before we can move higher than what is here in this realm. One of the things that I'm going to say is probably a little bit controversial, but we're in a purgatorial realm. That's what we're here. That's what Earth is.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't doubt that. And I think you're being kind of generous when you say that.
Yeah,
it might even be worse.
There's some darker things here, too, but it's actually...
Not that everybody is. I'm a strong believer, Marilyn, that most people are good people.
Right.
Most people are caring. And it's just that the negativity of the evil ones just happen to be so overwhelming, it outshines the good people. Yeah, it is.
Profoundly powerful. Evil is very powerful. And what you have, too, is you have both evil, but you have something I call dominant darkness, which is someone who's not necessarily pure evil, but they're dominantly dark. And then you have ignorant darkness, which is people who are doing things that are dark and can't be defined any other way, but they're doing it from some level of ignorance. The intent is not the same. And so you have these different levels of the darkness that we have to take a look at within ourselves as well.
All right, almost as if the guy who carries his beagle by the ears is being ignorant. The guy who beats his dog is being evil. Kind of difference?
You know, it could be kind of like that, except that, you know, you'd be surprised about one of the things. This is a term I use in my books called the energetic truth about something. Like when you're taken to see a lost soul or a situation in the lower realms or the higher realms, there's an energetic truth about things, and you'd be surprised how different you can have those very same circumstances and the energetic truth being in terms of what's really going on, whether it's ignorance, dominant darkness, pure evil, or whatever, can vary so much. It can really vary. And so you can have situations that you totally expect one thing, and you find out it's completely different. And you know how in the Bible there's a saying that says that only God knows the heart of a man, and that's kind of what I'm talking about when I say energetic truth. You're taken into a sphere where you're given to know the energetic truth and what exactly is in their heart. And so you'd be surprised how much that can vary for all kinds of deeds. Huh. It really can vary. It's across the board. Because you can have people who truly are ignorant doing some pretty nasty things, and then you can have people that are doing things that you might not think are that bad, and then you find out that there's actually some pure evil in there.
There's a plan behind it. That's why.
Right. It's intent.
Yeah, that's what it all comes
intent,
down to.
You know, so the intent is a big part of who we are spiritually, and you know how we develop is by really taking a look at our intentions.
When you were going through these realms, is time a factor at all? And are you aware of time?
You actually go into a state of what I call timelessness, and you enter into where, like, for instance, I could be gone for 2 weeks, what would appear to be 2 weeks, and be back in
seconds.
A couple hours or seconds, you know, yes. And it can also be where you can have something that seems like you've been gone a long time and then you're not. So it's the same. There's a state of timelessness where you can go backwards and forwards in time. You can actually go into the future, not just the past. And all time is simultaneous. And so, like in terms of like talking about the purification and trying to identify things, one of the primary issues that you'll see in the very beginning is traveling into previous lifetimes. And the reason this occurs...
You mean reincarnated lifetimes?
Yep. And, you know, one of the interesting things about this is that a lot of people don't realize that reincarnation and purgatory are intertwined. Because we're in a purgatorial realm. Reincarnation occurs because there's something that we're doing over and over again that we're not getting right. And when you actually start going into these past lives, you see the pattern. And you're like, oh, I keep doing that. Now I got to figure out, since the way I handled it all these times was this way, and then I tried that, and then I tried that. So none of those apparently worked. So what is it that I'm supposed to do with it this time to actually transcend it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, why are people who are alive able to travel this way or to get into these realms as someone who has passed on as well? Why are we allowed this glimpse?
I think it's because it's a vital component to the ability of mankind to evolve. If you look throughout our history, I have a huge library of ancient sacred texts in my house, and it contains all these writings of mystics from throughout time and throughout every world religion and some that aren't of any religion, and they've always been around. And if you look at it, it's almost like a cycle of knowledge that when you put it together, you get this much bigger picture. You know, because one of the things I really like to do is read all these other mystics, because one of the things I've learned in my experiences is that you can never contain all the knowledge yourself. So God gives each of us a certain little mission, but if you actually take in the knowledge that was given to others in their mission, there's a bigger picture that comes together. You're getting a bigger part of that whole cosmology. I believe that we are allowed to do it because it shows us why we're here and what we need to do to move to the next level. And I can really summarize that because I had a near-death experience about, I don't know, five years ago. I've had quite a few near-death experiences. I have heart failure, and I have some pretty close calls occasionally.
Oh, my God.
And so I had a close call about 5 years ago, and I had a really great near-death experience. It was really awesome. Jesus appeared. He took me through the light. He actually allowed me to tour the worlds of the universe, and it was so beautiful and so awe-inspiring. And he actually gave me the choice. He said, you can stay or you can go back. And I decided to go back because of my children. But what he showed me was he wanted me to know that the purpose of all of our lives is to go from selfishness to selflessness. And he said, the whole path can be summarized in that simple understanding. And so he was showing me the progress I needed to make on that path of going from selfishness to selflessness. And he showed me where my children were and the things I needed to do to help them out.
How did you know you weren't hallucinating or dreaming in this kind of, you know, near death state?
Well, that's a good question, because I think that to be fair, I think you have to say that nobody really can say for sure, you know, whether or not that they've been deceived in some way, because that can happen. You can be deceived. But at the same time, when you have these experiences, they're not a dreamlike. It's like you are physically there, and it is so conscious. You're more conscious than you can even possibly be in your physical body. I remember I wrote in The Mysteries of the Redemption at one time that I was allowed to experience what it felt like to be dead. And I was amazed at how much more awareness there was. Because, you know, we often think of death as this, like, big void, and there's the end. And it was like, wow! You know, because it was just amazing, the amount of conscious awareness. So when you have these out-of-body experiences, they're not subtle. They are so profoundly powerful that if you have them yourself, you really can't deny them. But it's totally understandable that anyone else hearing about them might think that that's what's going on, and that's a reasonable conclusion for them to come to. If they haven't experienced it themselves, it's just so profoundly powerful. And you know it when you're there. It's just, does that make sense?
Yep. Now, you know, next hour we're going to chat a little bit more about what people can do to get into this state.
Okay.
And also, of course, I want to talk about ghosts and spirits next hour as well with you. But you talked a little bit about how it's almost like time traveling and how you can go back and see some of your reincarnated beings, I guess. How far back can you go? I mean, all the way back?
Oh, yeah. You can go all the way back. I think probably just guessing was probably my oldest. The furthest back I went was some kind of caveman time, and I was fighting a mastodon, and I didn't win. but, you know, you can go backwards to, I've been in lifetimes that I have experienced in the 1800s. I experienced some during the Egyptian periods. I experienced some during like the Atlantis and Lemurian periods, and also back all the way back to caveman times. But the interesting thing is that you don't just see it. What happens is you go through a tunnel, and you drop into that body that you used to inhabit, and you experience it over. It's that conscious. You are literally experiencing it again as if it were physical. It's that conscious. It's hard to really comprehend that unless it's happened to you. Does that make sense?
Are you glad that you have this ability?
I'm very grateful for it. It was definitely not something I anticipated or had planned for my life, but I'm very grateful for it. And one of the reasons that I'm very grateful for it is because a great deal of this mystical experience is focused on correction. There are so many things that I have been corrected on, profound things that I've become aware of only because of these experiences. If I hadn't had them, I would not have progressed.
Up next, some of these techniques, also ghosts and spirits. We'll be back.